So I just want to start by thanking you guys. If you didn't know, I'm Haley. I'm youth pastor of Abundant Life Church in Brookings, South Dakota. And yeah, Joe's right. My group didn't get any of their competitiveness or athletic ability from me. But I just we've felt so welcomed by you guys here, and I just want to thank you for that, for all of the kindness that you've shown us and helping us feel like we're part of this family. So we really appreciate that. And I just wanted to start by kind of recapping what we've heard so far, because I know I've been so impacted by the messages that we've heard. And so if you can think all the way back to Monday, we had Will, and he talked about so many good things, but the thing that really stuck out to me was that our thoughts create an image that creates self-talk, which builds an emotion and then leads to a behavior, and that we can change our thoughts by speaking truth. And then Shania gave a great message on Tuesday about growing and nurturing our relationship with God, and gave us that image of a plant, and talked a lot about letting God lead our life. And we had a lot of great conversations in our cabin from that, so thank you. And then we heard from Kyle, who shared a really powerful testimony. And what really stuck out to me was when he talked about how salvation is more than a conversation about your destination. It's a deep understanding that God loves you and affirms you right here, right now. And then Paul yesterday talked about the power of the gospel of grace and kind of the before and after in his life of understanding that, and told us that God is not the ultimate surveillance system, but instead you are in Christ. And God sees Christ when he looks at you. And then last night we heard from Michael, who gave a really powerful retelling of Adam and Eve and framed it as a battle for our identity, and asked us the question, who told you that you weren't good enough? And so those were just some of my takeaways, and that leads us to today, where we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And Amanda asked me to speak, I don't know, probably weeks ago now. And believe it or not, I actually hate public speaking, which is crazy because I'm a youth pastor, and also I used to coach speech. So I could make other people really good speakers, but it's not my favorite thing. But I really wanted to welcome this challenge because I felt like God was asking me to stretch myself and to step into something a little bit scary. And so I agreed, and so here we are today. And so I'm really thankful to get to share with you guys. And before I was a youth pastor, I was a middle school English teacher, so I love words and grammar and English, and also I'm a lot more of a teacher than a preacher, so we're about to go to school. I hope you can all handle it. We're starting with a pop quiz. Are you ready? Too bad. So I'm going to give you a pop quiz, and you're going to stand up if you think what I'm saying is true, and you're going to sit down if you think it's false. Question one. The Holy Spirit is God. Stand up if you think it's true. Stay seated if you think it's false. The answer is true. We do serve a God who is three unique persons at the same time: God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Don't ask me how that's possible. I am not smart enough to totally understand the Trinity, but I know that it is true. Here's your second question. The Holy Spirit appears in, theoretically, in the movie Star Wars. This could be open to interpretation, but I believe that the answer is false. The Holy Spirit is not the Force. Not a magical power that you can use for good or for evil and bend to your will. Question number three. The Holy Spirit shows up for the first time in the New Testament. False. The Holy Spirit shows up throughout the Old Testament, even right away in the beginning when God created the earth. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. Question number four, the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Ghost sometimes. That is true. This is something that older Bible translations use the word ghost to refer to something that they could not see, but it doesn't mean a scary ghost in the way that we might use it today. So Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost mean the same thing. Question 5, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven in the form of an eagle. I almost got you. That is false. It was in the form of a dove. Good job. Here's your last question. The Holy Spirit was the promise that the disciples were told to wait for. That is true. And we're going to start there. So if you have your Bibles, let's open to Acts 1. A little bit of background on the book of Acts. It's kind of a bridge connecting the story of Jesus from the Gospels to the rest of the New Testament, where we read the story of the gospel going out. So Acts is kind of the beginning of that story of the gospel of Jesus Christ going out to the rest of the world. So we're going to start right away in Acts 1. And I'm going to read the first 3 verses. The former account I made, O Theo, and that's what we're going to call him, all of that Jesus began to both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, but being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Luke writes this, and he is telling his readers that the first book he wrote, which would have been the Gospel of Luke, was all that Jesus had begun to do and teach. So Luke's gospel describes only the beginning of the work of Jesus. His second book, the book of Acts, describes it in continuation. And the work of Jesus is still not complete. It is still continuing to this present day. And I hope that's something that you've seen this week at camp, that Jesus' work did not stop 2,000 years ago. It did not stop when he died on the cross. It did not stop when he ascended into heaven. In fact, his work was only beginning. He is still working through the Holy Spirit today. Today in this room, today in this moment, and today in each one of you. And significantly in this passage, we see that what Jesus did, he did through the Holy Spirit. The glorified Jesus Christ, risen with all authority and all power, chose to rely on the presence and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Imagine how much more we need to operate and rely on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read the next 2 verses. This is verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus knew the disciples could not really do anything effective for the kingdom of God until the Holy Spirit came. So he told them to wait. To wait means whatever they were waiting for was worth waiting for. To wait means there's a promise that it will come. To wait means they must receive it. It's not something that they can conjure up themselves. And to wait means they might experience the temptation to move apart from God. So it was with eager anticipation that the disciples waited for the promise of the Father. They knew that since their Father is good, this gift surely will be good too. They know that it will surely come because God always keeps his word. And we know that this promise is valid for all of God's children. And we know, like all of God's promises, it must be received by faith. So this promise that they were waiting for was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you might ask, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And there are a couple ways that this question could potentially be answered. One would be that it's the believer's baptism, being baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We see that in verses like 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were baptized into one body. Or Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's all talking about salvation. So when you believed in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, you died, you were buried, you were resurrected to new life in Christ. But that can't be what they're talking about here, because these disciples knew Jesus. They had salvation. So this was a different kind of baptism. This was baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to be baptized means to be dunked or submerged. An image that really helped me understand this is water. If I take a drink of water, if I pick up my water bottle and take a drink, I have received it. It is now inside of me. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's salvation. Baptism of the Holy Spirit would be like the other night when I jumped into the pool. That I let myself be fully submerged. It doesn't mean I'm more saved. It means that I've taken a step of faith, that I have received a gift that the Lord has for me, which is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what they're talking about in Acts. They have the Holy Spirit inside of them, but wait, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, then go out and do ministry. So let's keep reading verses 6 through 8. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So their response to Jesus when he said, wait, the promise of the Father, the good gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is coming, they ask a question about timing. And I feel like I relate to this so much. Jesus says, I have something so good for you. All you have to do is be patient. And I respond with, good. When exactly? And what exactly will it look like? And am I going to be ready? Or is there something I have to do to get ready? And what should I wear? And will it be scary? And if you could like draw me a diagram so I really have a good idea of how this is all going to happen. And Jesus says, that's not for you to know, my daughter. Let your good father worry about that. Here's what you need to know. What's coming is so good. You shall receive power. Please hear the Lord say to you today, whatever is coming your way is overcomable if you receive the power I'm giving you. Whatever is coming your way is overcomable if you receive the power I'm giving you. And then it doesn't end there. He says, that's not all. The power isn't just for you. It's for you to be a witness. And Jesus doesn't say this way in a command. I'm giving you power. You must go and be a witness. He says it like it's a fact. I'm giving you power, and then you will be a witness. This is a natural result of receiving the promised power to you, that you will be a witness to Jesus all over the earth, everywhere you go, in your school, in your home, in your friend group, on social media, that you will become naturally a beacon of light and of love and of life into every space that you walk in. But this is only true if you receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. So then the question is how? If that's something I want in my life, I don't want just a sip of water. I want to be submerged in water. The answer is to just ask. This is a gift that God has already said is available to you. All you have to do is ask and then receive it. You're not necessarily going to have a big feeling. Sometimes you will. But God is faithful. And if you ask, he gives. So I want you to pause here and think about being one of these disciples. Imagine everything that they went through. They saw a lot, right? A story about a king born in a barn and then healing people and then water into wine and then lots of bread and lots of fish and more healing and demons cast out and you bought in, right? And for some of you, you might have lost everything to buy into this. Your family might have said, that's crazy. And you said, I'm going to choose Jesus anyway. And you really believed it. And then he dies. And then you spent 3 days going, was it all a lie? Was it not true? All the things he said, all the things he did, was he not the king he said he would be? And you questioned everything. And then after 3 days of unimaginable grief and pain and mourning, he rose again. You have 40 more days with him on earth, doing ministry, spending time with him. Now he's getting ready to go home. And he's leaving you with his final words. What we were reading in Acts were his final words after everything you've been through with him. This is what he wants you to remember. This is what he's leaving you with. Now, for me, this is a terrifying thought. And this is funny that Joe also brought this up, but I am not an athletic or coordinated person at all. I tried quite a few sports through elementary and middle school. I think my parents thought that if I tried enough sports, maybe we would find one that I wasn't horrible at. But joke's on them, they just spent money and I just sat on the bench. Always. And this moment that we're reading about is the final huddle before the game goes into overtime. So far, Jesus has done it all. He arrived on earth, he shook everything up, he died and rose again for the sins of all humanity. And right before he goes home, there was one thing left to do. And that was to spread his good news to the rest of the world. And he could have done that all by himself. But instead, he decided to pass the ball to you. He invited you into the game. And unlike my experience in sports, you're not a bench warmer. You're not a second string player. You're on the starting team. Jesus has done all the work already. It's all accomplished on the cross. It's by his grace and through his power that we get to be the conduits of bringing the good news to the hurting and broken world. And there's one way that we can guarantee a victory, and that's through the Holy Spirit. because he's already done the work. And if you're on his team, you're on the winning team. But you get to be in the game. So we're going to skip ahead in Acts. Give you a little summary. Jesus ascends to heaven. The disciples pray and pray and pray. And they sit around and they wait and wait. And they choose a new disciple to replace Judas. And now we are in chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first 4 verses. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it's been 10 days since Jesus left them. I'm guessing it was a long 10 days. And verse 2 describes so much about how the Holy Spirit moves. It says, suddenly. Notice they waited and waited and waited, and then it was suddenly. And sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit moves. And notice that it first came as a sound. It was real. It was the Holy Spirit, but it could not be seen and it could not be touched. It came first by listening. And it came from heaven. It wasn't of earth. It wasn't created. It wasn't manipulated. They didn't bring in smoke machines and pretend that they were having an experience. It came from heaven. And it was mighty. It was full of force, and it came with great power. And there appeared tongues of fire. And the idea behind the picture of fire is usually purification. Fire burns away what is temporary and leaves only what is lasting. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is not just for power, but also for purity. And this is what's one thing that's different about the Holy Spirit showing up here than anywhere else so far in the Bible. And it's that the Holy Spirit rested. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come for a short while to accomplish a specific purpose. But now, because of the work of Christ, the Holy Spirit has a permanent position and condition with us. Now, this was a unique experience. The rushing mighty wind and the tongues of fire were a temporary phenomenon that accompanied a true gift. And it would not be correct for us to expect wind and fire, but we can expect the true gift of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And here's what we can learn from the disciples' experiences. They were filled when they believed in the promise. They believed it was true, and it was true for them. They received it in faith. They trusted God's timing. They were together in unity. And it wasn't in a way that they expected. And if you keep reading in Acts, you will see a huge difference in these disciples. Before this moment, they were men who were limited and scared. And after this moment, though they were still limited in their humanity and maybe still felt fear, they operated in power and wisdom and courage. They had not just taken a sip of the Holy Spirit, but they were immersed. And it may be more useful to describe the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a condition rather than an experience. So instead of saying, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the question would better be phrased, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? And why would we want to be baptized or immersed in the Holy Spirit? We're going to talk a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does for us. So I know one thing that a lot of us struggle with is that we hear a lot of voices. And all of all the words that we hear can be traced back to three different origins. They can come from the Holy Spirit, they can come from the devil, or they can come from our own flesh. And it's good for us to have discernment to know which of those are the Holy Spirit and which are not. So, if you hear a voice that reminds you of your sin, it's never the Holy Spirit. Because the truth is that the Holy Spirit remembers your sin no more. Hebrews 10 tells us the Holy Spirit witnesses to us and says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Of course, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to sin, but when you sin, the Holy Spirit does not remind you of your sin, make you feel guilty for your sin. That voice is the enemy. The voice of the Holy Spirit reminds you of who you are. It reminds you always of your righteousness in Christ. And if you hear a voice that tells you to fear God because he's distant or too holy for you to be near, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always draws you closer to your loving Father. Ephesians 1:7 says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And Galatians tells us that God sent the Spirit into our hearts to cry out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit draws you to your Father and reminds you of who your Father is. Loving, gentle, patient. If you hear a voice that tells you to only talk to God when you feel like you need him, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rests on us, abides in us, dwells in us, and is with us forever, not just when we feel like we need him. John 14 says, I pray to the Father and he will give you a helper. He may abide in you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. He dwells with you and will be in you and will not leave you orphans. You do not have to beg the Holy Spirit to come. You do not have to wait until you are struggling to cry out. The Holy Spirit is with you always, dwelling in you, resting in you, making his home in you. If you hear people tell you that the Holy Spirit is interchangeable with words like energy, love, light, the universe, that's not true. The Holy Spirit is God, is the person of God. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that, for who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And Romans 8, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't know what to pray, the Spirit himself intercedes for us. The Spirit is God. Not just energy, not just love, not just light, not just, oh, if this wasn't meant for me, the universe, God, Holy Spirit, whatever, wouldn't have put it in my path. That's not true. We have to have discernment to know what is the Holy Spirit and what is not. If you believe that the Holy Spirit is a divine policeman living inside of you and trying to enforce law and order, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a strengthener, an encourager, and brings prosperity. We see that in Acts. If you believe that the Holy Spirit is unpredictable, acting apart from Jesus and God the Father, that's not true. The Holy Spirit will always speak the same words of Jesus and the same words of God the Father. Matthew 10 says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Be on your guard. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is why it's so important for us to know the word. Because if we hear a voice that doesn't align with what Jesus and God the Father say, then it's not the Holy Spirit. If you believe that the Holy Spirit crushes you with impossible demands, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit raises the dead, makes us new, gives us life, and frees us from the burdens of the law. It's the kindness and love of God our Savior that brings us to repentance. If you're feeling guilt, shame, condemnation, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key that opens the prison doors, allowing you to step out of shame and fear and bondage to anything. You have the same Spirit in you that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. And it's your connection, your openness to the Holy Spirit that releases those things into your life. And the last one I want to share is that if you believe that the Holy Spirit is just the warm fuzzies that you feel during worship, I want to let you know that the Holy Spirit is a lot more than that. I'm not saying that that isn't the Holy Spirit. A lot of times it is. Sometimes it's emotion. A lot of times it is the Holy Spirit. But that's just a drop in the bucket of who the Holy Spirit is. If you think you have to wait until worship time at camp to feel the Holy Spirit, you're missing out on so much. I'm thankful for the worship team. The worship helps me to feel and connect with the Holy Spirit, but that's not the only time. And if that's the only time for you that you feel the Holy Spirit, that's something to talk to God about. Lord, show me where you are. Speak to me. Help me to know that you're here even when I don't feel it in my emotions, even when I don't understand it in my mind. Help me to know you, to feel you, to connect with you when I wake up in the morning, when I'm waiting in line, when I'm frustrated, when I'm at school, when I'm fighting with my parents. The Holy Spirit abides in you. Imagine going through an obstacle course that you've never been through before. So imagine you're blindfolded, and we've got all kinds of obstacles, and you have to walk through it. And imagine I had 15 of you come up as voices, and only one of you was the true voice. First of all, it would be really helpful if you knew the person who was that true voice, right? That you could pick out their voice among the crowd of all the other voices that are shouting. And sometimes it's really obvious in our life, right? Which voice is from God and which one isn't. And sometimes it's not. And sometimes there's choices we have to make that aren't so clear. And we hear the world tell us things like, follow your heart. And that sounds like a really good thing. And do what makes you happy. And that sounds like a really good thing. And live your truth. And that sounds like a really good thing. But that's not always the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we have choices we have to make, like, what college should I go to? Should I continue in this friendship? How should I handle this relationship? What clothes should I wear? What things should I watch? What things should I listen to? And if we don't know our Father's voice, we can drown in the other voices that we're hearing. Now imagine you're going through that obstacle course, and not only do you know the voice of truth, but now that person comes over to you and puts a hand on your shoulder and walks you through it. Man, that makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? And that's the difference between having the Holy Spirit inside of you and being in the Holy Spirit. And so I hope that that's something that you guys can talk about in your cabins, in your groups today, what that looks like in your life. And I really want to encourage you, if you haven't experienced being immersed in the Holy Spirit, if you haven't asked God and received that gift, I want you to know that it's available for you. And today would be a great day to take that step. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father,